welcome to Drunk Distery Presents The Dark Ride, a fun theme parks themed game show with zero prizes and lots of drinking. You're a returning listener. Thanks for coming back. If you're new here, welcome. My name's Adrian, and I have a co-host. His name is Ryan. We're two people who love all things theme parks and started this podcast so we can drink all about them with fellow theme parks loving fans just like yourself. If you listen to this show before, you might say that it's hosted by a couple of Disney adults. And you might be right, but what exactly is a Disney adult, really, and how does one become one? Is there an initiation? Do you get crowned? We're going to find out. If you Googled what is a Disney adult, you'd get a lot of different answers. For instance, Wikipedia says that a Disney adult is a person who is a devout fan of all that is related to Disney. A Disney adult may enjoy visiting theme parks, collecting Disney merchandise, streaming Disney, you know. Urban Dictionary, however, is a little bit harsher. They say that a Disney adult is a millennial adult, very specific, with or without kids, that can't stop talking about Disney, including the movies and the parks. Even if they do have kids, they're still way more obsessed with it than their kids would ever be. They probably engage in casual Disney bounding, and what's the difference, formal Disney bounding, and visit the theme parks at least once a year. They are obsessed with everything Disney and probably have a Mickey Mouse bumper sticker and or a tattoo. One of the most terrifying, intense people you'll ever encounter. Practices associated with the Disney adult phenomenon date back to the decades of the 1990s, where Amanda Brennan, senior director of XX Artists, identifies Tumblr as the origin of the Disney adult fandom. As you can see, definitions are all over the place, leading to a whole culture that is largely misunderstood. And we want to understand it, so that's what we're going to do in a new once-a-month episode we're calling Unpacking Disney, where in each episode we're going to interview someone we think would be considered a Disney adult and find out what got them there and what makes them tick. So that's what these episodes are going to be about. We're going to try them out. Also, in almost 4 years of doing this show, this is the first solo episode of The Dark Ride that I'm hosting. My name is Adrian, and like I said, I'll be your host. And when we come back, I'll introduce you to my very first guest of the Unpacking Disney episode. So stick around, and we'll be right back. All right, that jazzy tune means that we're back to Unpack Disney, and today I want to introduce you to my very first guest on the show. You may know him as one of the co-hosts of the Dark Ride podcast, Ryan Bieber. Welcome to the Dark Ride.
Hello. Am I talking too close?
Why don't you give a little do re mi, a little fee fi fo, little
fee fi fo. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Rye.
I'm glad that the shoe is on the other foot now.
Yeah. This is my house. Yeah. You were just a guest.
Yeah. This side of the table feels different,
but also the same.
But pretty much identical to what it was before.
We figured if we're gonna make people do this, then we got a guinea pig. We got to go first.
Yeah. And you guys at home, please let us know, are you into, like, is this cool?
You like it?
Yeah, you like it?
We want to know. I'll put up a poll on IG. But I'm using we're too much. I'm very interested in this subject matter. Ryan's, they say, casually interested in it. And it's because I see a lot of people that have never been to Disney telling me what a Disney adult is.
Which is interesting.
I never see them say, you know what, I'm going to have on my show a Disney adult, and I'm going to talk to them. They just sort of pull up clips from the internet or from TikTok, and they're like, this is what they do. And
some of them do.
Some of them do, yeah. But there's a spectrum here. And I want to find where we all sort of fall and what are the common denominators of people that may or may not identify as this term Disney adult.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I'm interested in seeing, you know, the the wonderful patchwork of Disney adultdom that we find. You know, like I want to talk to the crazies. I want to talk to the normies. I want to talk to like the closeted Disney folk.
I want to talk to the people that are not the park side. I want to talk to somebody that's really just into the movies. Because I always, you know, the Disney adults I know are people that are into Disney parks.
Me too. I mean, we became friends basically because we Disney were both Disney adults.
Right. Not because we were like, oh, you know what? I love Little Mermaid. It was because, oh, you know where I like to go? Disney World.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. So I think it'll be interesting. And what's going to happen, how this format is going to go, we're going to start with some sort of questions. We're going to get the origin story and sort of take you from like when people first experienced Disney to where they are now. And then we're going to do this really fun thing. We're calling it the Tomorrowland Rapid Speedway, where we're going to ask a bunch of questions.
Oh, are we now?
Yes. Well, I am. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions to my guest, and there should be like under two sentences answers, sort of quick little...
Quick fire
things.
I don't know what questions you're going to ask.
No, you don't.
What order you're going to... You know, like I have no idea what's about to happen, so...
But we also invite you two to grab a drink and
I have one.
You have one? Yes, we do. We both have a... Both enjoying a beer. And you know, just see how this relates to you. If you're listening, I'm assuming maybe you somewhat relate to being a Disney adult. And so I'm just curious how you relate to these things. We got a lot of horns beeping outside because people are excited about this new show.
I'm so excited they can't control it. Can't contain it.
So as we say on this podcast, Ryan, my guest for the very first episode of Unpacking Disney.
Yeah.
We start at the start.
Oh, yes, we do. Say this quite often.
We do. And so I want to know.
I'm a little bit nervous.
You should be. You're in the hot seat.
This feels...
It feels
different.
A little different, right?
Yeah. I don't have my notes. I have nothing.
You have nothing. You're just sitting here like a useless. Ryan, I want to know, how old were you when you first visited a Disney theme park, and what do you remember, if anything, from that experience?
I don't remember the first time. Young, you know, I would say young. I don't think that Disney was the first themed environment that I was in.
Okay.
I think like Storyland in New Hampshire was probably like the first right. like theme park, you know, like all themed to like to nursery rhymes and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've been there, yeah.
Really cute. Mm-hmm. You know, but not to the same level as Disney, obviously. No. I have a fond memory of Pirates when I was you know, first time, and I remember, you know, getting a pirate hat in the store and getting a wooden gun. Loved that wooden gun.
Yeah.
loved it so much. I think that the first time that I went, I want to say I was 4 or 5. My brother would have been born, my middle brother, Brendan, would have been born, and he would have been like, I think they waited until he was like 2. So I think I was 5.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, I've been, you know, going back consistently.
Speaking of that.
After that.
Since then, now this is going to, I don't want you to do any math, but just give me a range. How many times do you think you've been in a Disney park total? So I'm going to give you a range, like under 50. This is in days.
Oh, in days?
In days.
Oh, shit.
Just think about it. You don't have to... Under 50, under 100, under 500, or over 500?
I think I would say under 500.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably closer towards the 100 side.
Yeah.
But we went on a lot of trips that were over a week long,
mm-hmm.
And we would go multiple times a year at one point.
Yeah.
And I think I've clocked the trips in at something like, at this point in my life, like 38, I think, or something like that. So, you know, if those are 7-day trips or
38, I've never like sat and thought about like how many trips.
I wasn't thinking. Days is.
I say days because I think like, you know, it. I think to say how many trips you think you've been on, but if somebody's just been. Somebody's local. It could, you know.
I mean, I think it's over 100, less than 500.
Okay. What for you is the major difference between how you experience Disney as a child versus how you experience it as an adult?
I think like I'm a lot more into like the logistical side of it now. Like how does it, how do you run a theme park? How do you make the magic happen? I was always like, oh, the magic is amazing. But as an adult, it became a lot more of like, how are they doing it?
So when you were a child, you were, you know, walking on the yellow brick road. But as an adult, you want to see the man behind the curtain. You want to see the wizard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to know how the sauce is made.
I mean, even when I was younger, not quite an adult yet or a young adult, like I felt that way. It's definitely what brought me from being like a casual Disney fan from my youth to like thinking of it as being something like important in my life and something that's like, you know.
So there's a curiosity there.
A ton of curiosity. And I remember like being pretty young and like looking at cartoons, like looking at like childlike things.
Okay.
And feeling bad about liking them still. Like feeling like underdeveloped, like oh, what's wrong with me? Am I underdeveloped? Like why do I still have an affinity towards this stuff? And then coming to the conclusion that like these things are made by adults. Like, you know, like it doesn't matter if it's a cartoon, it doesn't matter if it's Teletubbies. Like Teletubbies is made by like there's no children on
right. There's no,
you know, yeah. Like that are employed by Teletubby Inc.
Right. Or
it's you know, it's a ton of adults that come together and do the marketing and do the set design and do the
and that the, are the Teletubbies
that are the you know, like yeah. all of these things. Yeah. So, you know, and that's obviously like an extreme, you know, made for toddler thing, but like that's for everything. And,
yeah.
And then I became like more and more okay with the idea of liking it, and really with the idea of, you know, how can I maybe make this part of my life and my work going forward? So that was kind of, yeah.
That's kind of what kept you.
What kept me going, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you currently, right now, feel like you're too old to be into Disney? And if not, was there ever a time that you did?
You know, I think maybe fleetingly. Right now, no. Right now, I think that I'm the perfect age to go to Disney. I think that every age is the perfect age to go to Disney.
Right.
But I think there have been fleeting moments. You know, there was a span, you know, my too cool for school, the college, mm-hmm. college years, like where I don't think I went for, you know, like the later part of college. And then like through like my like, you know, early 20s and stuff, I didn't go at all. I lived fairly close to, I lived in California for a while. I lived in Anaheim and I went, I think, was there for 5 years and I went once to Disneyland, you know, like it just wasn't like a priority. It became more and more of a priority like later on in life. I guess, you know, it's one of those things where it's, a, you know, in your backyard, like
yeah, it's the Statue of Liberty for the New Yorkers. Yeah,
exactly.
You mentioned that you thought maybe you had some sort of like arrested development, or you like sort of thought about that. Like, is there some, did you have that sort of thought of like, is there something wrong with me for being into this?
I don't know that it was like just for this, you know, specifically. Like, it wasn't like a Disney specific thing, but it was, you know, lots of interests, right? Like, you know, like, oh, I'm interested in things that like are full of wonder and like not adult, you know, like why am I not interested in taxes, you know, like why am I not interested in accounting and stamp collecting and, you know, like these things that are adult type activity. And yeah, I think I felt a little like arrested by it and a little like, you know, is this weird? Is this wrong? Is, you know, like these questions would pop up in your brain. And then at the end of the day, like you like what you like, you know, you are who you are and you like what you like. And so it's, you know, you better get good with it because it's not changing, you know, like.
And it's basically like a societal pressure that would, because if we all just got to think as we wanted to think, we wouldn't be encumbered by sort of.
Sure.
Like I feel like if I'm in Target and I'm walking past the toys, I'm compelled to look at the toys.
Still, yes.
And I'm like, well, yeah, because they're fun.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And I'll pretend that I'm buying them for a, you know, a child's birthday and look at them and, you know, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll put it back on the shelf. Nah, This isn't the right toy for him. It's the right toy for me.
Do you think that Disney adults maybe are people who are not afraid to admit that they're still into things like that? Like they're not as encumbered by societal pressures?
Well, when they're at Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But in their waking life, maybe, maybe not. You know, I think that there's, there still is like a little bit of like, you know, we've talked about it. Like, you know, there was a long time where, you know, I do a podcast every week with you for 4 years. And like, there's still friends that don't know, you know?
Yeah.
And when I tell them, they're like, oh, you do a podcast? And I'm like, yeah, like for 4 years now. And they're like, whoa, really? What's it about? And then there's a second where you're like, this is going to be a thing right now.
You're dropping a bomb.
Yeah. Like there's going to be like I'm going to have to answer for this.
Right. And explain it.
And then like be judged by it. And I'm going to have to come up with the tools right now in order to diffuse that judgment.
Right.
Which would be different if I was like, oh, I've got a podcast about sports.
Would you say I've got a podcast about theme parks?
I think it's the same judgment.
The same judgment, okay.
Yeah, I think it's the same judgment. Mm. And sometimes I do say it that way. Because I mean, I do think of us as a podcast about theme parks more than of Disney. Most of the vast majority of our content being Disney.
Right.
But I think that, you know, we can cover anything in the themed world and make it entertaining and something fun to talk about, so...
So you wouldn't say that you're, like, outwardly, maybe to the max, a proud Disney adult. You might be just like a don't ask, don't tell Disney adult.
No, I mean, I think that, like, I do tell people now, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was a while where I would just avoid
telling people. Yeah, I remember that.
I just wouldn't tell people that I had a podcast.
Right.
Period. And I wouldn't have to deal with the question.
To answer the question.
Yeah.
What is that? What
but
is
I do
the...
tell them now because I'm proud of what we've done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm proud of the show that we make. It is fun. Everybody that I've ever had listen to it that are people that are not Disney people.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah.
And they write me and they're like, this was great. And I just felt like I was hanging out with you for, you know, an hour or two. And it made my day. And you're like, oh, like that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, and they don't give a shit about, you know, like whatever we're talking about at the time.
Yeah.
Like they don't care about the Hoop-Dee-Doo musical review, I promise you. Like,
so there is a fear there, or there was. You've probably gotten over it you've definitely gotten over it in some capacity now, of just saying the sentence, yeah, like I like Disney, I like going to Disney parks.
Yeah.
Because of a wider sort of like,
and there's definitely in my life right now, there's still people that like I would not have that conversation with.
You know? I think the same. Now I know you've never been a cast member, but would you have wanted to be?
I did want to be. I mean, like I wanted to be an Imagineer my entire life. It's why I'm an architect today. I thought to myself, like, what's the best route to get to that being the end goal? And it was, well, if you want to build imaginary buildings, you should learn how to make real ones first.
Yeah.
And so that's what set me down the path, you know?
Yeah.
And then slowly throughout the path, I mean, I fell in love with architecture, you know, in general, not just thematic architecture. And so I, you know, have happily, you know, parted the pathway of like, you know, going to work for Disney. Plus like... You know, don't meet your heroes. I don't think that, especially within Imagineering, I think that there are probably wonderful moments working for Imagineering, but I think that there's probably a lot more heartache and a lot more, like, bruised egos and things like that. I mean, design work in general is pretty, like, ego-driven, and I think that there would probably be, like, a lot of that. And... to be honest, like the stuff that I would want to do for Imagineering, which would be kind of like story and illustrative, like to draw up like ideas, fantastical ideas of, you know, when you see like the Disney art, or, like the Imagineering art, which I love Imagineering art.
Yeah.
I'm just not that good of an artist. Like I can't do what would be required of me to, in order to make it there.
Right.
So, you know, I can design a wonderful building, but like, I don't know that that's like really the role that I would want there.
Right.
I'd like always be coveting like somebody else's role that,
right,
that I really don't have the skills to be able to put together. So let them do it. Let them do it and let me just enjoy the wonderful magic that they make. And I'll take the lessons and things that I've learned from like studying the things that Imagineers have done throughout, and I'll, you know, implement that into real world architecture.
Well, you might not be an Imagineer, but you're a great armchair Imagineer.
Yeah, I think I come up with pretty good ideas.
Yes,
and then,
you do.
And then, you know, I'm glad that they don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to make them a reality.
Do you identify as a Disney adult?
In certain aspects of my life, yeah. You know,
What would your definition of a Disney adult be?
I think that it's somebody that that cares. Somebody who's an adult that cares about Disney in some aspect or another. I think that there's, you know, like I'm a theme parks Disney adult, but I'm not a collectibles Disney adult. I'm not a movies Disney adult, although I've seen most of what they have. But like, you know, Wish came out and I didn't know any, I still don't know anything about it. Like,
right,
you know, I'm not in a rush to see it. If it comes out on Disney Plus sometime, like maybe I'll see it.
Right.
You know, the live action Lion King, which I've heard great things about, still haven't seen it. Like, you know, maybe I'll see it someday. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Well, same thing with The Little Mermaid. Same thing with like plenty of movies, especially, you know, outside of childhood, you know, nostalgic stuff. Both of us, I think, are big time triggered by nostalgia. Heartstring pulling, you know, so like anything from like the Disney decade and the Renaissance is like, you know, it's a part of my soul.
Sure. Do you decorate with Disney?
I have Disney art.
But it's very subtle.
It is art that I know is Disney.
Right, which I love.
And that others may or may not.
Right.
But I'm proud of it. And, like, if anybody asks me, like, oh, like, what's that painting about? Like, I tell them, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, I don't hide the fact that it's Disney. Like, that's the fun part of it for me, you know? And, I've got, I try to get original artwork from Imagineers. And I have stuff from Clem Hall, and I have stuff I'm having a brain fart. He's one of like the nine old men.
Tony?
No, I don't have any Tony Baxter stuff. I wish I had Tony Baxter stuff.
I feel like that's your number one.
From
one of the dudes.
Yeah, one of those old guys. It's not great work because he did it when he was in his 80s, I think. But yeah.
I wish you that gave I could me remember. One I gave it, from somebody.
Yeah, this is.
Do you wear Disney clothing or anything in non-Disney settings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like pretty much every day, the t-shirt that I'm wearing underneath whatever you're seeing is a Disney shirt.
Okay. But would you walk around with one without, with it being out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But not to, you know, like at work, you know, I'm wearing like a button down, but there's, you know, some weird Horizon shirt or something else. I like obscure Disney stuff.
Yeah.
I like weird quotes. I've got like, you know, a Laugh-O-Gram, which was Walt's company that he formed with his brother before Disney. I've got like a t-shirt about that. I've got, you know, several that are about like, you know, the university mentioned in Horizons.
Yeah.
Mesa Verde.
You always say you like clothes where the only people that get are the cast members.
Yeah. That's my total thing is to make the cast member smile and be like, that's cool.
Right. Because how many Best Day Ever shirts can they see?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You need something obscure.
Yeah. And I don't want anything that anybody else in the park
is wearing. Yeah, that's why I won't buy like ears that are like in the park right now and then wear them around. I'm like, then I'm just like everyone else.
Exactly.
My own obscure thing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the way Disney adults are portrayed in media and pop culture, and do you think that's an accurate representation?
I think it's an accurate representation of those individuals.
Specifically.
Yeah, specifically. Yeah. And I wish that they... I wish that they treated Disney adults like sports fans, like where it wasn't like, you know, like if you see like a crazy sports fan, you know, the connotation isn't negative.
Yeah.
About it. It, you know, where I look at that person and I'm like, look at this fucking psycho. You know, like, how many Ravens clothing items can you have? You know, but at the same time, it's the same, you know, it's the same sickness.
It is. It's the same. It's,
you know, wanting to know every detail about the history of the thing, wanting to know, you know, what the best seat is in the stadium, to know all the stats, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I have that exact same sickness, but for theme parks.
When I watched the movie, Fever Pitch with, Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore, I'm like, that could literally be a movie about a Disney adult. It's the same.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah. Same shit, different day.
What personally keeps you going back to Disney?
It still has the magic. Mm. You know, I will say that, like, the magic, I mean, it still hits as hard, but, like, there, I have noticed, like, cracks in the facade.
Okay.
You know, over the past, I was going as an adult, like, less often. I was going, like, every 3 years or something like that until we started hanging out and doing the show and things like that. Then it started becoming, like, you know...
once a year.
Yeah, like, then I was going, like, once every 2 years, and then all of a sudden I was going, like, once every year and actually even shorter time than that. Like, you know, kind of, like, once every, like...
Yeah, 9 months.
9 months to 10 months.
You have a Disney baby.
Exactly. And, you know, at one point, like, I wouldn't go unless there was, like, three new things to do. And I still kind of feel that way. But, like, as I've gone a little bit more frequently, and it's, you know, not to the frequency of, you know, yourself or you know, many other Disney adults, but I've noticed that, like... you know, like, it used to be that, like, if a piece of trash, like, you know, fell out of somebody's stroller or whatever, it was picked up within, like, 20 seconds, you know, like, and put into a trash can. And, like, now it's not quite that. And, like, the paint was never peeling, and, like, now it's not quite that.
The reins have been loosened a little.
A little bit in certain aspects, right? And then they've been tightened in other aspects. So it's, you know, I don't really love and appreciate, like, the way they have been tightened, you know, with the technology and all that kind of stuff. Which is, I'm sure it's nice to have these, those parts, but to me, they're not the basic service that the park is supposed to be providing, and they're not magic to me. Maybe it's because, like, we of our age, like, live in two worlds of a non-technological side in our Generation Z, but Generation X side, and then because of, like, when we were born in the early 80s, you know, we also have the technological side with the millennials. So, like, you know, like, we kind of have our feet in both worlds.
Yeah.
And,
well, we're Xennials, right? That's what they call them.
Yeah. Xennials. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe because of that, like, we can smell the bullshit. Like, we can, you know, like, we know where magic is and where it isn't. And, like, it's not just because you make something, like, technologically advanced doesn't make it magic. I'd rather have, you know, more custodians.
Sure. Well, I think the more often you go, the more the smaller it gets. Like, if you're going once every 3 years, it's so overwhelming, so overstimulating that you're probably not noticing the trash.
Sure.
Because there's, like, you haven't been and you want to see it. But then when you go more often, you can actually, like, you've seen that, so you don't have to, like, stare at it in such a way. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I hear that. Is Disney just a place to get a good churro, or does it heal something in you?
No, it heals. It still heals.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
No, I mean, I think that it's so personal, right?
Yeah.
Like, for every individual, I mean, I think a lot of it is that nostalgic bump that you get. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have, like, a very nice, loving, warm childhood, and... when you're there, you know, a lot of my core memories are based there, and they're all happy memories. And, you know, like, you get a flood of
dopamine
and, extocin or whatever the fuck it is in there that, that you're feeling, you know, and it's all nostalgia based. And, you know, I mean, is Space Mountain the best ride ever? Like, I don't know. Probably not technically. We haven't covered it yet.
That's wild.
Maybe we have.
I think we have. We had to. Well, I think you said something really interesting there, because I relate to that a lot. You said that you had all good memories there. And I think that I feel like similar to that, that there, like, if there is a place where generally you're always happy, then it's safe to go somewhere where you feel like you'll always be happy.
Yeah.
You know, if it's you as human beings, they say we move towards pleasure and move away from pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's a really good point. Have you personally received any backlash for being a Disney adult, and where does it usually come from? Family, friends, the internet?
You know, like little slight comments, that type of stuff. I would say family and friends, I guess, more than like than others. I've kind of stopped, you know, giving a shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the nice thing about having facing towards middle age, is that, yeah, you can give a shit less and less. You know, ready to get my old man chair and sit on a stoop somewhere.
Also, we've just have kind of like exposure therapy, right? Like the more you're just kind of like, it doesn't really matter. Like the more something's like in your face or like,
for you, sure. And like us, you know, we get strangers that write us really wonderful things all the time about, you know, about their love for the same thing that we have a love for.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite comments that we get are like people that are like, not really even that much of a Disney fan, but like, you guys make me want to be one. You guys make, yeah, me want to, you know, give a shit about this stuff. And like, you're like, oh, you're a secret Disney adult. You're just like,
yeah, it's dormant.
Just, like, you're just popping your head
coming out.
You're just popping your head right out. So I think that, yeah, like that's, yeah, I don't really get like the hate, but I'm also not out there, you know, as much as many people. So
do you think that it's like this is like a cultural thing, and eventually it will just, something else will replace it? Or do you think it will always have this sort of connotation to it?
Like the negative connotation, yeah, with Disney adults? I think that, how do I think about that? I don't think that it's a fad to like, okay, to like make fun of Disney adults.
Okay.
I think that it will always be there if the members of the community that are extreme,
mm-hmm,
are portrayed as such.
Yeah. Right.
So like as long as like the people that like wear Disney on their sleeve full force, and they should, you know, do that. They should do as they choose. As long as like they are out as a target, I think that people will make them a target.
Sure.
Do I think that every single one of those haters, when they have their first real Disney experience, will change their mind about it? As long as Disney stays good, mm-hmm, you know?
Ish.
Good-ish, right? I think that it's something that can easily have the minds changed of the people that, you know, throw shade.
Speaking of that, Disney is a company.
Mm-hmm.
We know that, and not, and they maybe not always do the best things.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with supporting something that may not always align ethically with how you feel?
Vote with your dollar.
You vote with your dollar.
Yeah.
Okay. So at this point, though, you feel like your dollars is okay spent at Disney.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it's a giant company. They're not going to do everything wonderful all the time.
And, yeah.
Find me a giant company that does. And, you know, if we dig hard enough, we're going to find, you know, we're going to find something. So, you know, I'm definitely not a rose-colored glasses person, and you know, they've also, as a giant company, done things that I've been very proud of them for. You know, the it took them a little bit of time, but to speak out against DeSantis's, you know, don't say gay bill or whatever. I thought that was very brave of them.
Very brave,
And they had to deal with some repercussions from it. They're still dealing with repercussions from them just saying, like, you know, you don't speak for us, basically. Like, and I think that there's a lot of opportunity for them to do the right thing. And I think that in general, it is a company full of good people that will attempt to do the right thing. That's not going to happen all the time, but it's okay.
Well, before we move on to our fun segment, I want to end by asking you one more question.
Okay.
You're out of the hot seat. This is going to kind of be about your rose and your thorn. What is the best part about being a Disney adult, and what's the worst?
I think, you know, I like doing this show with my friend Adrian.
Aw.
It is one of the most fun things, and to do it as a Disney adult and to get to be goofy and all that kind of stuff. I never dreamed that I would have that opportunity, and I love it. I love it.
Me too.
So that's probably my rose. And the thorn, I think, is that
it's expensive.
It is. You know, a lot of people are like, that's their main reason.
That would
be
their main,
Like, why are you a Disney adult? It's so expensive.
So expensive. We hear it all the time.
I think that the thorn is maybe it's a rose too.
Okay.
Because I think it's that moment of like, oh man, now I'm going to have to explain, you know, my hobby.
Right.
Or my love for this thing that people, right. this person obviously doesn't understand. And it's complicated in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe it's not complicated, but it's not understood immediately.
Nuanced.
It's nuanced. Mm-hmm. And it's both a rose and a thorn because like, I don't like that moment of like, oh fuck, now I have to do this. And yet it's like an opportunity that moment of like, well, now I can grow bigger on, you know, of myself. I can grow bigger and I can stand proud and all these things. So I think that's the, like the rose and the thorn built into one.
I think those are great answers. And Ryan, you did excellent getting through those questions.
Oh,
and I learned a lot. I think there was some good stuff there.
Guys,
you okay? You're wiping the sweat off your brow.
I need beer.
All right, we're going to come right back, and then we're going to do Tomorrowland Rapid Speedway. Yeah, I know. All right, Ryan, you ready to go as fast as you go on the Tomorrowland Speedway? The goal of this little round here is I'm going to rapid fire ask Ryan some questions, and all answers should be under 2 sentences or less.
2 seconds. Okay, gotcha. Go.
Sentences.
Oh, okay.
First one, Genie Plus or nah?
Nah.
All right.
Get the fuck out of here. Don't need it. It's not needed. Go simple. Simple's better.
Okay. All right. Canada, Mexico, France, or the UK? A real Disney adult will not need any context on that question.
It's the only answer from this side of the table, at least. Mexico and UK.
Okay.
So, depending on the
we could
entrance.
Not be more opposite.
I know.
Which member of the Sensational Six do you identify with the most?
Rapid fire.
You identify.
You know, this is going to be weird. I think it's Daisy.
Okay. I can see it.
I think it's Daisy.
Little sass monster?
In my head, it's like oh, I'm Mickey, but like, I'm not Mickey.
Oh, no. No, I don't think anybody's Mickey. Walt is Mickey.
I don't even think Walt's Mickey.
Walt's Cruella? I don't know.
I think maybe Daisy.
Okay.
I don't know what I just found out about myself. I feel like
something you discovered something.
Where's
and that's,
BuzzFeed at to tell me what I know about myself now?
That's what we're trying to do here. Okay, which Ryan, which is a bigger crime, wearing Disney clothes to Universal or wearing Universal clothes to Disney?
Neither.
Neither?
No.
It's all good in the hood?
All good in the hood.
All right. Finish this statement.
Okay.
Adults who cry when they see the castle or meet their favorite costume Disney character are what?
Emotional. Okay. That's not me. I don't do that. I don't have emotions.
Yeah, like a robot. What is a Disney adult activity that doesn't interest you?
Tchotchke, like, no, maybe not tchotchke collecting. That's not the right term. Like, okay, characters.
Meeting characters?
Yeah, meet and greets don't interest me at all.
Okay.
I like walk around characters, not meet and greets. I'm not going to wait in line for it.
I can see that about you. What other non-Disney hobbies do you have or interests? Movies, characters, Dreamlight Valley, toy collection, art, clothes, pins?
Other than parks, you mean?
Oh, non-park. Yeah, I'm sorry. What other non-park things do you...
I collect Disney art. Love Disney art. I like history. I like the history of Disney. I have, like, you know, books about it. And I like knowing the little details and stuff like that.
Okay. What are some of your Disney adult coping mechanisms when you're not able to visit the parks for an extended period of time?
I listen to podcasts and I watch YouTube and read books and collect art and do those things. Buy shirts.
All right, we're coming towards the end here. You've only got two more left.
Oh my God.
It's getting emotional now.
I lied. I do cry. I do cry at the castle.
If you knew it was the last 10 minutes that you were ever going to spend in a Disney park.
Like I'm dying?
You knew it was the last time you were ever going to be there. I don't know if you're dying. Maybe the park's closing. Who knows? I don't know. It's not specifically that.
Okay.
If you knew it was the last 10 minutes that you were ever going to spend in a Disney park, what would you do and how would you savor it? Take us through where you are.
Okay. All right, well, Dole Whip, right?
Okay, you're eating.
Getting a Dole Whip. And then I think I'm walking across the bridge into the hub. And I don't know if I'm hanging. I'm not sitting. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe I'm, like, walking down Main Street.
Just sort of vibing out.
I guess I'm walking out the door.
Kind of, yeah. It's very similar to mine.
I think I'm walking out the door.
Kind of like an end of a trip thing, but just like one last end of a trip.
Yeah. All right. Definitely like looking at the windows, you know, like I love the windows on me.
So you're not just like looking at the castle, walking back. You're just kind of...
I mean, like every once in a while, you know, go glance back. I'd probably like, you know, stay out in the hub for like maybe a couple bites of the Dole Whip.
Yeah.
You know, get it under the rim.
And do you feel like that would help you savor it? Like just hearing the sounds? Would you just kind of be like quiet and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very, very quiet.
If anyone tried to talk to you, you'd be like...
Oh, they're not allowed. I might put headphones in and just listen to O Canada.
All right. Lastly, Ryan, describe your love for Disney in three words.
My everlasting joy.
Aw, that's a good one. Ryan, you survived the Tomorrowland Rapid Speedway.
Whoa!
And I think we've thoroughly unpacked Disney with you. I want to thank you for your vulnerability here.
You're welcome.
I want to thank you
for... I try to be real. I don't think I lied.
I don't think you did.
Okay.
I know you. I think we learned a lot. I think that was a little glimpse into the mind of a Disney adult. Do you have anything you want to plug? Any podcasts or any social media? Anything that you're trying to shill here?
No.
The Dark Ride podcast.
Well, they're already listening to it.
This is spending that belief right now.
Oh yeah. I have a long-standing podcast with a very close friend of mine where we talk about Disney, if you can imagine.
We're adults to talk about Disney.
I would say, you know, like, subscribe, rate, and review. But
thank you. But we'll get to that.
Like, you know, like what are some like other
share to story?
Yeah,
love that. But Ryan, I think just to summarize something, I thought you really hit on some really good stuff there, and like that are I'm going to be thinking about, like that sort of place where you kind of always feel joy. I think that's an interesting thing, and I'm curious if that's going to be a common denominator in a lot of people.
Well, we'll find out. I hope I'm not alone in the world.
We're going to find out. And please let us know if you enjoyed this type of episode. We'll, you know, if you guys are liking it, we're going to try to do it once a month. And yeah, I enjoy it because I like hearing about people's love of Disney. The Dark Ride, presented by Drunk Disney, is available every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are available. The show is free. But you can pay us by simply liking and subscribing, giving us that 5-star rating and review. We read every one. Or just telling a fellow theme parks loving friend to listen. The show is, you can email us questions or shout outs at drunkdistory@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at the Dark Ride Podcast and TikTok at Drunk Distory. Lots of great theme parks content there. That's it for us, guys. But as always, thanks for being a Disney adult listening to this show. Cheers.